I would die for her, said the young man. To which his friend replied by saying, then why won't you live for her? His friend did not have an answer. This young man had the wrong idea that many others have. While he said that he was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice for his wife, he failed to make the day-to-day sacrifices his wife desperately needed. His marriage would be doomed. He failed in his commitment to God. And this example reminds me of our relationship with Christ. And let me explain to you why I say that. It's often the case sometimes that some Christians will often make big claims about how much they love Jesus, how thankful they are for Jesus, the fact that he died on the cross for our sins, and yet they are not willing to take up their own cross and to follow him on a day-to-day basis. But ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly what Jesus demands from you and from me. In Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23, we are reminded of the commitment that Jesus expects from us. In Luke 9 and verse number 23, the Bible says, as Jesus was talking to the crowd, he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus demands that we be committed to him. Commitment, it means to pledge, to promise, or to oblige. And yet this idea is not often seen in action. But as the saved people of God, Jesus expects us to be committed to him. Because when we were baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, we pledged our allegiance to Jesus. You remember when you were baptized? Maybe it was a week ago or a year ago, whenever that was, you pledged your allegiance that you were going to serve and follow Jesus the rest of your days. And he expects us to be committed to him. And sadly, this is something that is a challenge for many people. And it's a challenge because at times the teaching of Jesus is a challenge. Many times people are really not that familiar with what Jesus said in the Gospels. Many times people only know what Jesus said in regards to what they read about in a Hallmark card or some holiday card. But when you open up the Gospels, you see that Jesus expects us to put him first in all that we do. In Luke chapter 14 and verse number 26, Jesus reminded the crowd that unless he is first in front of mother and father, brother and sister, husband and wife, even our own self, we cannot be his disciple. And that's where the challenge lies. Because sometimes commitment can be a hard thing to do. But it wouldn't be commitment unless it was challenging at times. It's easy to talk about how committed we are to Christ. But Christ wants to see our commitment in action. What does it mean, or what does it look like to see commitment in action? There's a man that stands out to me when I think about the word commitment. A man who once said, for to me to live is Christ. What a powerful statement. For to me to live is Christ. You see, for this man, Jesus was not just a part of his life. Jesus was his life. For this man, he didn't take up his cross every once in a while when it was convenient. He picked up his cross every single day. And you may know the man that I'm talking about. I'm referring to the Apostle Paul, who said those words in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 21, for to me to live is Christ. Paul talked a lot about his commitment to Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, he backed it up with the actions that he did. He demonstrated his commitment to Jesus, and to this afternoon, I keep wanting to say tonight, but I guess technically we're still in the afternoon. This afternoon, what I want us to talk about a little bit is our commitment to Christ. Paul was a man who was committed to Christ, and he demonstrated his commitment. And from the life of Paul, we can learn a lot about how we can demonstrate our commitment to Jesus. Now, we're not going to be studying from the book of Philippians, where Paul made those comments, but we are going to be studying from the book of Acts. And if you have your Bible, open it up to Acts chapter 9. We're going to begin there in just a moment. And we're going to look in the book of Acts primarily most of this afternoon because Acts is really all about the actions of the apostles. And we're going to see Paul and his commitment in action, how he demonstrated his commitment and devotion to God so that we might be able to learn from him and then do the same. I want to pause here for just a second before we get to the first point. Welcome everyone again. It's a blessing to be here this afternoon, and I certainly appreciate this opportunity to be able to study and share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, in Acts chapter 9, In Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse number 18, we find Paul, the one who once persecuted the Lord's church, was baptized into Christ. The Bible says in verse number 18, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he arose and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. Paul was now a new creature in Christ. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. You notice what's happening in the life of Paul. Paul, after he was converted to Christ, he aligned himself up with other disciples. After he became a new creature in Christ, secondly, he began to teach people about Jesus Christ. Things are going well in this man's walk. Look at verse 21. And all those who were hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on this name and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests? He aligned himself with disciples, taught people about Jesus, and people saw a difference in his life. They were amazed at what they saw because there was such change in this man's life. And things were going well for Paul at the beginning of his walk with Jesus, but things were about to change. Because Paul was getting ready to face some tough times, and really the rest of his life, he was going to face some difficult days. I want you to see what happens next. And verse number 23, drop down to verse 23. The Bible says, And when many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. Paul now was faced with some people who were trying to kill him. And this would continue on and on. Look at chapter 16. Throughout the rest of his life, Paul would suffer much persecution. In Acts chapter 16, in verse number 20, the Bible says, actually, let's drop down to verse number 23. This is when Paul and Silas were teaching and preaching. And the Bible says, And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. He faced persecution from the Jews. He was often beaten. He was often stoned. But to make matters worse, he would face discouraging times from brothers and sisters in Christ. When you go back to Acts chapter 9, in Acts chapter 9, when Paul went to Jerusalem, in verse number 26, he tried to associate with the disciples. And the Bible says that they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Can you imagine how Paul must have felt? To try to align himself up with other Christians, and they didn't want anything to do about him. They knew his rap sheet. They knew his history. But that wasn't the only time. Look at Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, when Paul and Barnabas, when they were getting ready to go out on a missionary trip, in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 5, they took with them a young man. The last part of this verse says that they also had John as their helper. Some translations say John Mark. Now drop down to verse number 13. In verse number 13, we see at the last part of that verse that John left them and returned to Jerusalem. You see the discouragement that Paul faced? Discouragement from people outside in the world and from his own brothers in Christ. John Mark left Paul and Barnabas in the midst of their work. And Paul, his walk started off strong. His commitment to God was strong. But when these tough times came, you know what happened to his commitment to God? Absolutely nothing. He continued to be committed to Jesus. You see, Paul did not live a life of bitterness and discontent with God. In fact, in Acts 16, you read the rest of that chapter, after Paul and Silas were thrown into prison, what are they doing at midnight? They're singing praises to God. And so even in the midst of difficult times in his walk, Paul continued to be committed to Jesus. Not only that, but even in the midst of discouraging times from the brethren, Paul did not hold a grudge. Paul did not hate John Mark and never spoke to him again the rest of his life. They mended their relationship, and Paul commended Mark at the end of his ministry. That's because Paul was committed to Jesus, and part of that commitment was to demonstrate love to his brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul, he continued to shine his light before people in the world. I want you to notice in Acts chapter 27 real quick, a passage that we often overlook in Acts chapter 27. This is when Paul was now traveling to Rome. He was now a prisoner, and he is with a centurion named Julius. Julius had guard over the prisoners and had guard over Paul. And in Acts chapter 27, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And when it was decided that we should sail for Italy, they proceeded to deliver Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius." Now drop down to verse number 3. "And the next day we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated..." Watch what happens here. "Julius treated Paul with consideration and allowed him to go to his friends and receive care." What was this man thinking? Paul is a prisoner. If a prisoner escapes, this man's in trouble. So why would he ever allow Paul to be released so that he could have some time with his friends? I believe it's because he saw something in the life of Paul. Whether he saw Paul and the way that he treated others, whether he heard Paul preaching, or whether he talked to Paul, this man saw Christ in Paul. And that's because Paul was committed to Jesus. And the thing that Paul is showing us and demonstrating regarding our commitment is that we must be committed in our walk with Jesus. Paul was committed in his walk with the Lord. Whether it's the way that he treated the brethren, whether it's the way that he treated people in the world, whether it's the work that he did in the kingdom of God, whether it's the way that he conducted himself on a day-to-day basis. He was committed in his walk. And that's the first point that I want you to see. And the question I want us all to consider here this afternoon, can we say the same? Are we committed in our walk with the Lord? Brothers and sisters, talk is cheap. And while it's good for us to talk about how committed we are and how thankful we are regarding Jesus and the things that he's done for us, what Jesus wants to see, what God wants to see, he wants to see some action on our part. And Paul shows us exactly how we can demonstrate our commitment to one another. One of the best things that we could ever do to demonstrate our commitment to Jesus is how we love one another. Love must always reign supreme. Look at John chapter 15 and verse number 12. This is a commandment of Jesus in John chapter 15 and verse number 12. Jesus, as he was talking to his apostles, Jesus said in John 15 and verse number 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." Later on in verse 17, Jesus would go on to say, "This I command you, that you love one another." This is not an option for us. This is something that we must do. And it is foolish for us to say that we love Jesus, that we love God, and then we will not love the brothers and sisters in Christ here. We must demonstrate our love for one another. That's what Paul did, and that is what we must do. That's how we demonstrate to the world that we are the very disciples of Jesus, by the love that we have for one another. One of the ways that we demonstrate our love is by forgiving one another. You know, disagreements are going to come up from time to time. It doesn't matter what congregation you may be at, there are going to be disagreements in the body of Christ. And it's not good for us to hold grudges or resentment or remorse or bitterness. Part of the way that we demonstrate that love and commitment to Jesus is by forgiving one another. Let me give you another way that we can demonstrate our love. One of the best things that we can do to demonstrate our commitment to Jesus is how we love people in the world. And one of the best things that we can do to demonstrate our love is to tell them about Jesus Christ, how he was crucified and rose from the grave. Don't ever be ashamed of your faith in Jesus. That's how we can demonstrate love for one another. That's how we can demonstrate love for people in the world. But that's only the beginning. Another way that we can demonstrate our commitment to Jesus is by our daily interactions. Wherever Paul went, people saw a difference in his life, and we are called to be the same. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 with me. Ephesians chapter 3, and notice the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 5. Notice the words of Paul in verse number 1. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 1, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus here. And in verse number 1, he said, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." Watch this. "But do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper among saints." You see, there's a way that we have to conduct ourselves. Verse 4, "And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." people were amazed when they looked at the life of Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, people are often amazed when they look at the lives of Christians. But it may not always be for the right reason. They were amazed at Paul because they saw a difference. Sometimes people are amazed at Christians because we act just like everyone else. When I was in college, I'll never forget a statement that someone said to me. It was me and my friend, Dustin Carr. He's in West Virginia, or Virginia. He's in one of those places. And we had some people over at our apartment one evening. And as the night progressed, someone made the comment that stabbed me in the heart. They said, talking to me and Dustin, "I would have never thought that you two were Christians." Why do you think they said that? I know why. Because we were doing everything else that the rest of the college kids were doing. They said that because we were at the bars with them on Thursday and Friday and Saturday nights. They said that because we were at the parties with everyone else. We were acting and doing the exact same thing. And they couldn't see a difference. And if we're going to be committed to Jesus, we must let our light shine in the world. People should not be amazed when they look at us because we're acting like everyone else. They should be amazed because we're standing for truth, not ashamed of the gospel and our faith in Christ Jesus. And what that means, there are many things that we could say here, but we need to be careful how we interact on a day-to-day basis. When we're at work, we need to be careful with the language that we use. When we're at home, we need to be careful with the language that we use. When we're around brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever we may be, we need to conduct ourselves in a worthy manner. We need to make our light shine. That is how we can conduct ourselves. That is how we can demonstrate our commitment to Jesus, our love for one another, our daily interactions. And let me give you one more thing in regards of how we can demonstrate our commitment in our walk with God. When tough times come, we don't give up. And I don't mean to be doom and gloom here. It's a nice sunny day. The sun has come out this afternoon. But let me just say this. Something bad is going to happen to you. Something bad is going to happen. Whether it's going to be you losing a loved one, you going through some difficult physical condition, that's just part of life. But when tough times come, we cannot throw in the towel and quit on Jesus. And someone here at this congregation, one day is going to disappoint you. Someone here is going to say something or do something that's going to disappoint you. And when that happens, you can't say, "Well, they did this, I'm giving up on the Lord." Because we have pledged our allegiance to Jesus when we gave our life over to Him. We don't give up and we don't quit. When Mark disappointed Paul, Paul did not throw in the towel. When the apostles disappointed Jesus by forsaking Him, He didn't throw in the towel either. And we must not do the same. We demonstrate our commitment to Jesus in our walk with the Lord. For to me to live is Christ. Jesus demands that we be committed to Him in our walk. That's what Paul did to demonstrate his commitment, and that's what we must do. That's one way we demonstrate our commitment to Jesus. Let me give you one more, then the lesson will be yours. The second way that we demonstrate our commitment to Christ is in our worship to God. When you go back to Acts chapter 9, this is the second point here. In Acts chapter 9, go back with me to verse number 18. In Acts chapter 9 and verse number 18, after Paul was baptized, we find that Paul, he was committed to worshiping God. In verse number 19, the Bible says, "Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus." We find that immediately Paul joined himself with other brothers and sisters in Christ. That's because he took worship seriously. He made time for worship with the saints. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. And he continued his speech until midnight. One of the verses, though, that we leave out is found in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 16. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 16, what we learn is that Paul was in a hurry. Paul was in a hurry to get to Jerusalem. The Bible says in Acts 20 and verse 16, "For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus in order that he might not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be in Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost." He had a busy schedule. And yet he still made time to worship God. And Paul was so serious about worship to God that when he saw things that needed to be corrected, he took action. In Acts chapter 17, when Paul was in Athens, the text says that his spirit was vexed or provoked within him. Look at verse number 16. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "Now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was beholding the city full of idols. He saw that these individuals were not worshiping the true and living God. He wanted to do something to change that. In fact, when he learned about the congregation in Corinth that had so many problems, he wrote to them. He recognized some things that needed to be changed in that congregation, particularly with their worship, and Paul took action. Why? Because Paul knew the value of the Lord's church. He recognized that it was Jesus who purchased the church with his blood. And he recognized the commandment of Jesus, that God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth. Paul had the right attitude toward worship. When Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ," that not only included his day-to-day walk with the Lord, but that included his worship to God. And as the children of God, the question this afternoon is, can we say the same thing? What people often say today, worship is not a big deal. Don't worry about how you worship. Don't worry about if you make it to worship. It's not really a big deal. Well, that's a lie. Worship has always been a big deal in the eyes of God. It was a big deal in the days of Cain and Abel. It was a big deal in the days of Moses when God told him to build the tabernacle. How? According to the pattern. It was a big deal in the days of Jesus when he said to worship him in spirit and truth. And ladies and gentlemen, worship is still a big day, or still a big thing in the eyes of God today. Now someone may be thinking, oh no, is he going to go to Hebrews 10 and verse number 25? Are Texas preachers just like Alabama preachers? Are they going to go to Hebrews 10, 25 and talk about not forsaking the assembly? Or if you're thinking that, you're absolutely right. I am. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25, this text still applies to us because it is by the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25, we may know this passage well. Not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. There were some brothers and sisters in Christ in the first century who had a bad habit. They had developed a habit of missing the assembly. Now, many of us are familiar with this passage. I'm not going to go over this time and time again, but we need to understand why. Why is worship such a big deal? If we can understand why, then I think that's going to help us in our commitment to worshiping God. Look at verse number 23. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." Worship is a big deal in the eyes of God. First and foremost, God must be at the center of our worship. And yet at the same time, worship is a benefit to you and to me. Worship is how we can encourage one another, or how the text says here, how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. Worship is something that is vital in our commitment to God, so that we might remain strong in our walk with him. What people often do, they often do the wrong thing. Those who grow weak, what they often do, they start missing worship services. That's the very thing you don't want to do. Worship is a big deal in the eyes of God, and it is a benefit for you and for me. Now we may have some fun and talk a little bit about Hebrews 10:25, but the truth is, maybe we're missing the big picture. Paul was committed to worshiping God. We have to be the same. And maybe sometimes we struggle at this habit. It is a habit. There were some who developed a habit of missing worship. And if you can develop a bad habit, you should be able to develop a good habit. But maybe we're missing this because we fail to appreciate who we're worshiping. As David said in his prayer, we are worshiping a wonderful God. The God of the creator of the heavens and the earth. The God who created something from nothing. The God who is described in Psalm 90 and verse 2 as being everlasting to everlasting. Worship, that word is proskuneo. It means a kiss toward God, and we are giving him our reverence and our awe and our praise. And if that does not motivate us, if that doesn't get us fired up to come to worship services, then I don't know what will. And maybe that's the element that we sometimes miss when it comes to being committed to our worship to God. Isn't it a privilege to know that God is pleased with our worship? That we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and do something that God is pleased with. Christians in the first century, while there were some who were forsaking the assembly, there were many who were willing to put their lives on the line to go to worship. Because back then, they potentially could have lost their lives. When we are called to do the same, not necessarily put our lives on the line, but we are called to make some sacrifices. There are going to be times where we're going to have to give up some things in order to worship God, and that should be something that we are willing to do at any cost. While it may not cost us our lives, we're going to have to give effort when it comes to getting ready to go to worship. We're going to have to give of our time when it comes to worshiping God. And when we get here, we have to give of ourselves. Because sometimes we just talk about assembling on the first day of the week, but it's more than just sitting in these pews. It's more than just sitting here not doing anything. This is a time for us to pour out our hearts to God, whether we're praying. It's not just a person up front who's praying. All of us should be active in prayer. When we're singing, all of us should be lifting up our voices and giving thanks to God. As we're studying from the Word of God, all of us should be examining our hearts and seeing how this study is going to impact my life. As we give, we should give with a joyful heart. As we take the Lord's Supper, our mind should be focused on the greatest sacrifice known to man. You see, we don't just come here to worship in the morning and the p.m. just to say, well, I went to worship. We come here to worship and then we actually worship God. That's how we can demonstrate our commitment to Jesus. Paul demonstrated his commitment in his walk and in his worship. And we are called to do the same. I want you to consider one last thing. Why should you and why should I be committed to Christ? Because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ was committed to us to die on that cross, to suffer humiliation unknown to any of us here, to be buried for 3 days, and to rise again. Therefore, we should be committed to him, providing salvation for us, carrying out God's will is what motivated him to die on that cross. Let's make sure we continue to take up our cross and follow him. Are we committed to Jesus? If we're not, let's make sure that we change that. Let's decide this afternoon that from this day forward, we're going to take up our cross and follow him. If you have not been committed, what Jesus wants you to do is to repent and to follow him. Maybe there's someone who's never given their life over to Christ. Maybe you've not made that best decision or the greatest decision you could ever make. Jesus wants you to be committed to him. But let me just say this final thing. Don't get baptized. Do not get baptized if you're not willing to take up your cross. Because Jesus said, if you're not willing to put me first, you cannot be my disciple. But if you're willing to put Jesus first, then by all means, be saved today. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Jesus and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. If there's someone here who is subject to the invitation, we invite you to come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.